Tonight we're staying again in our subject. We're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're just looking at things, the reasons why we, the Scripture teaches us to pray in other tongues. What it does for us is tongues, its purpose. And we've been looking at a number of things. And one, we're going to look at one tonight, we're going to look at is speaking in tongues gives spiritual rest and refreshing. Gives spiritual rest and refreshing. That's really an important part of tongues itself, and which I've said a number of times in this teaching. That when Kenneth Hagin, Jesus, one of the times that he appeared to him, told him that if his people would pray in tongues at least 1 hour a day, he said there's a lot of things in life they wouldn't face. And so it's so important to do is to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. And I want us to look, there's a scripture in Isaiah, the 28th chapter, that we want to look at and read. It's an Old Testament scripture, but we're going to find out it has New Testament that is referenced in. But we want to look at what it says, the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And there's two scriptures here we're going to read. In verse 11 of Isaiah 28 says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear." So this scripture is speaking, really, is an Old Testament scripture in the reference to speaking in other tongues. And as we go on here to teach, but I want you to look at the two words there that is referred to this speaking in tongues. He said was rest and refreshing. And actually, Israel, God came to Israel. He sent his son. The church, the original church, was a Jewish church, and those believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And really, Israel didn't pay any attention generally as a nation. You know, really a small percentage of them received Jesus Christ. But as a nationally, they didn't do it. They rejected, even though he moved in a supernatural way to reach them, they didn't accept it. But we want to look at tongues as a rest and a refreshing spoken of here. Now, we know that this scripture speaks of tongues because of Paul made reference to it in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, Paul made specific reference to verse 11 specifically in his writings. And we're going to talk too, we'll look at Peter also gave reference to this, not specifically to the scriptures, but concerning the refreshing, speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, in verse 21 says, "In the law it is written, 'With men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord.'" So this is a direct reference to Isaiah's scripture, that what Isaiah was talking about was the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking on the tongues, because this whole 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is about tongues, its uses in the church and things, and also its uses in our private lives. So he mentioned that specifically here. So we know that this scripture is specifically speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter referenced this scripture in his preaching after the man at the gate beautiful was healed in the temple. And if we would go over to Acts, the third chapter, into Acts, the third chapter, He made reference to being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts, the third chapter, verse 19. He told the people in verse 19 to repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So what? That so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that was direct reference to this infilling of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Ghost, because Peter also, if we look at Acts, the second chapter, in verse 38, makes reference here again when he says repent, when he talks about repentance in Acts the second chapter, verse 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So he told them over here, he told the people later that really speaking again of repentance, about getting born again, and he said, times of refreshing. And see, a lot of people have preached that times of refreshing speaks to revival in the future, and that's not what it's speaking to. That times of refreshing was speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, specifically. We don't have to wait for a revival or God to have a move on this earth for us to be refreshed. I can have revival anytime I would like it. This is what a lot of the church world doesn't understand. The church world is sitting around waiting for God to bring something. Meanwhile, people living under things instead of over stuff. And they don't realize that we can have rest and refreshing any time. And it comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in other tongues. And so we need to act in line with the Scriptures. Because so many are just waiting. They're waiting for God. Well, we're praying and waiting for God. We're believing God for a move of God. It doesn't matter. You know, there are moves of God, and at times God moves very powerfully. We've seen there's always been through history, there's been big moves of God. But those moves of God every time come because people begin to start to do what they were supposed to be doing to begin with. And until they start to do that, the move of God never comes. If we would go back to the 19th century, say back to the beginning of the 1900s, let's go to the 1900s. Back in the 1800s, there were some revivals things, but in 1900s, one of the major moves of God that started in the United States, people began to seek God about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the Holy Spirit was poured out and people began to speak with other tongues. A lot of people at that time didn't know, a lot of the preaching was then that, you know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was speaking other tongues wasn't, you know, that was a thing of the past. But people began to seek God. They began to ask God about these things. And a move of the Spirit began and started. And really, that move of the Spirit is what moved down through to the time of the 1950s. Healing revival had a lot to do because there was different outpourings of the Holy Ghost in that time period. And not back in the beginning of the century, this is where Azusa Street and all of them came. But they did not happen. Those Azusa Street, none of that came to pass till after people started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And see, people began to move and then began to move in the Spirit. So God could begin to pour things out. We can't expect a move of the Spirit if people who are filled with the Holy Ghost ain't doing nothing about it. It's not going to happen. And see, it gets... there's really a lot of misnomer that's being preached out here. Ideas like, we're just going to pray and we're going to seek God and walk, you know, be pretty nice people. And if we're really sort of nice, then there'll be a pouring out of the Spirit of God. No, it won't. That's not how it works. It has never worked that way. It's always when people begin to move in line with the Word of God, start responding to God like He said. And when people, you know, just like with them, the moves of the Spirit came in times when people, the Spirit-filled people, you're not going to find outpourings of the Holy Ghost with lots of healing and stuff among people who are not filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can go back to the Welsh revivals and all that kind of stuff. People got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then all those things started to happen. But it came out of Spirit-filled people. And so you got to stay full of the Holy Ghost. If we want to see a move of God, that move comes through people who are full of the Holy Ghost, not were full of the Holy Ghost or got filled with the Holy Ghost 27 years ago, not through that. Thank God, got filled with the Holy Ghost 20-some years ago. I mean, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for a long time. But it is a matter of staying full of the Holy Ghost. It's a matter of keep moving in the Spirit because that allows God to do things. God is not going to move without people. It ain't going to just fall out of the sky. You know, Israel, they sat around a pool and they waited for a stirring of water and one person out of the multitude gets healed. If that's what Christianity, and that's what this last move of the Spirit seems to be that people are looking for, God to do something while I sit. Well, if that's what you want, one healing and done, you know, whenever the water gets troubled, I want a little more than that. I'm interested in a little bit more than that, and we can have that. And one of the things is you and I can stay constantly refreshed. You and I can constantly stay in, have a rest of the Spirit, even no matter how turmoil things are, how things are going on. We can be in peace and rest. And one of the things is through praying in other tongues. Lots of times, this is one of the reasons many people go through spiritual fatigue. You can't stay on top of things in bad times. You got to stay. The only way you're going to do it is if you stay spiritually refreshed. You're not going to do it any other way. It's staying spiritually. So you're going to have to do spiritual things. I've watched people pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and never get at rest and never get it because, you know, they're just doing what they do out of their intellect and out of their own mind. You know, they're calling out to God for help and help and help, and we're going through troubles, and man, you can tell they're not at rest at all. They're talking about faith, and they're talking about, oh, trust in God, but the whole time they're laboring and working and trying to get a hold of God and trying to get... That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. Faith, you can tell this. If you're not at rest, you haven't come to faith yet. I mean, read the New Testament. It talks about Israel. Israel's great problem was that God could never bring them to rest because they weren't in faith. True faith. And this is where praying in the Holy Ghost, that's when we talk about praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is what goes over into that place, getting yourself built up. You're acting toward God in faith. You're responding to God out of faith in your heart instead of responding to God out of the emotion of whatever is going on. A lot of people are praying out of their problems and out of their troubles. And that isn't what gets things done with God. You've heard me say many, many times, you know, a lot of people do worry prayer. They think, you know, they're worried about something, so they pray about it. They think, you know, well, I'm really worried, I'm praying, but really they're never responding to God by faith. And this is one thing, is praying in other tongues puts us over. The Bible says, like we read before, when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking to God, you're not speaking to men. Also, you don't understand what you're talking about. But it has affected, if we will believe, put faith in what the Scripture says is taking place. The Bible says it's bringing me rest and refreshing. I ought to respond that it's doing that. If I believe that, then I would probably do better if I did more of it. If I'm in a lot of problems and troubles, then I should be doing a lot of it. One of the best ways to do, though, is most of Christianity prays and operates toward God on the defensive instead of the offensive, and that's why people don't have much victory. We should be more offensive. In other words, we should be into prayer and praying in tongues for rest and refreshing before problems hit. You will find this out. Problems will not get a hold of you like they do if you don't do that. And I'm serious. They don't get a hold of you. They say, you'll find your faith is going to work a whole lot better, because if you enter into this place, you're going to have your inner man strong, and your inner man's going to be taking dominance instead of the outer man, and your mind getting into all kind of worry about the situation. But most people, they run into the problem, they're in the middle of their trouble, then they begin to pray. And so what they're trying to do is, like I always say, like, you know, in the hurricane, the guy decides once the wind's 90 miles an hour, we're going to put up the plywood over the window. And it's like, yes, well, we'll see you in the next county. You know, it's like, you're gone. And this is what happens many times to people. And then people wonder, why didn't God answer my prayer? Well, they think just because they prayed that something should have happened. And don't leave yourself in that position. Get into refreshing. Another thing, I'm just going to tell you, it'll help you greatly in the natural, doing things from the standpoint, because, you know, a lot of people, they think they're going to go on vacation to get rest, and it almost never works. Because you're going to come back to the same stuff. Getting away from things for a while can be good. It can be good, but the idea that if I couldn't handle my problems when I was in the middle of them, that if I go away and come back, somehow we're going to handle the problems. That's wrong thinking. It ain't going to work. One of the things to do, and especially you want to have better vacations, get into rest and refreshing in the Spirit before you go. You'll appreciate your vacation more. You'll have a better time. You won't have this halfway through dreading coming back. Oh, love. So many people do that all the time. They'll tell, oh, then last few days of the vacation, they're griping because you have to get back home. You know, they didn't. It didn't help them in the least. They're the same old person they were, so the vacation didn't do a thing. Within 3 days after they're back, they're going to be just like they were before they ever went on the vacation. Just as miserable and everything else. That's what happens. Now, if that hits home, well, it should. If it does, if you're doing that. This is why we get over in the area of rest and refreshment. Most people's fatigues and problems is what they are spiritually, not what's going on physically. It's what's going on spiritually is why they have the problems that they do. And they don't identify at that. They think, well, this is because this is going on at work, or this is happening here in my family, or this is going. This is what's it. No, you know, we need to understand, you know, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, so it wasn't somebody else. So we need to get over in the thing is get myself, if I have myself spiritually in tune, I have found this out. I know what it's like to enter things not being spiritually in tune, and I know what it's like facing things when I am. And it's a huge different ball game. A whole different ball game. See, I used to do the bit of taking vacation to get away from stuff. And then you come back to stuff. And I finally figured out, you know, what's wrong with Ed? You know, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with taking vacation. But there's something wrong because it ain't working for me. It didn't work. And most people, it don't. They just enjoy that period of time, but they come back. It's life like it always was, and it wasn't good. And I found out you can just downright have a good life. You can have a good life. But you got to do, you got to begin to practice the right things. And one of the things is in the area, especially staying over the spiritual side, keeping ourselves spiritually in tune. And one of the wonderful ways to do that is just praying in other tongues. One of the things really to do is praying, because it is a rest and refreshing. It is to the inner man. If the inner man is affected, I will guarantee you it's going to affect the outer man. It's going to affect the outer man. It's going to affect how you view things. That's one of the things that I found out when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost is the difference that it made in the fact of how I face problems. You know, I'd go spend time praying in tongues and spend time with God, and things didn't get to me like they got to me before. Things didn't bother me like they bothered me before, and how I had to deal with things and stuff. And it's like I said, that was one of the things that Wanda looked. You know, she said she knew that, you know, I had changed. You know, I was a different guy that she married. Well, it sure wasn't because Ed was so great or anything. It's just following the principles of God I was taught, and I began to follow them. It revolutionized my life, began to change things. And I know through my walk, sometimes I'd get away times, and I wouldn't spend times over in the spirit like I should. You know, I'd be more involved over on the physical side. See, I found out that's when I got around, especially people in the ministry, I found out that most ministers were not good to hang around because they were mostly always on the work side of things and were very few, little over on the spiritual side of stuff. Apostle Paul, he said, you get somebody else to do the work. He said, us guys that are preaching, teaching, we got to spend time in the Word and in prayer. That's what we got to do. Oh man, I tell you, you go out here and listen, you go to these seminars and stuff that ministers go to, it's all about working. Being involved in all kinds of stuff and all kinds of programs and doing all kinds of things. And they're not spending time. And that's why, you know, so many ministers drop out of the ministry, you know. You know, when you get the average minister who only spends about 4 or 5 years in the ministry and leaves, I've learned to know this. Usually these big wheels in ministry, they don't know a thing about ministry. Because they're teaching people, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, and it don't work. And if it won't work for the minister, it ain't going to work for the people. It's not going to work for the people. It isn't just about being busy. And so we got to get over in the spiritual side. We got to put first things first. And staying spiritually in tune. If I'm in tune with God, I'll tell you what, it's going to change things immensely. If I can hear, if I keep myself clear where I can hear what God's speaking to me on the inside, I'm going to do much better about decisions that I'm going to make. I'll have a lot more confidence about the things when I'm facing something, what I ought to be doing. It's just going to help a whole lot more. And so you want to get over into that area. Don't keep, you know, dealing from the, you know, the defensive side. Start getting on the offensive side. You're ahead of the game. That's what you want to be. Because other than that, You're always the target. You get hit, and you're praying your way out of it. You know, I've always said with people, you know, they've always looked. Most people preach healing. Healing's something you get sick, and then you try to get healed. And I don't believe in it that way. I believe in it. You get well, and if sickness comes, you tell it to go someplace else. I don't believe you get sick, and then you work at trying to get off of it. Because what happens here, you're always on the defensive side of it. After the devil gets to do his pleasure and have his fun, then we work like crazy trying to do something about it. Well, let's get over on the other side of it. Let's get on the offensive side of it and begin. It'll change you. And I found this out. When I would get over and spend time in the Spirit and praying in other tongues, God put me on the offensive rather than defensive. It's staying on top of things. And that's why we pray in tongues. We may not understand it within our minds, but it's turning around and doing things about our future. It's getting us ready. It's pumping us up. When the fight comes, you're standing in the corner with the gloves on, ready to go out and fight. You're dancing around. You'd have thought, oh my, what if the devil hits me? Say, no, that sucker's getting hit. I'm coming. You know, you can do it one way or the other. And most people, they're afraid they're going to get hit. And then when they do, it's, my God, get the smelling salts out, put it under my nose. I think he'd knock me out. And then they're trying to recover. That's not the way we do it. And so God will get you over on the side where you won't be afraid to face challenges. You know, I know from the damn thing, when the year 2000 came along and all the junk that was going on back in 2000 over the computer things and here and that, oh, and Christians were just downright stupid and insane. I never heard that. More people come to me about stuff, and I just thought, oh my God, if they'd have spent any time praying. And I'd tell people, first thing I'd tell them, I know ain't gonna, nothing's going to happen. I said, I know for sure. They said, God tell you? I said, no, because I know this. If anything was going to happen, he would have told me. And you're too scared to hear what he got to say. You're so been listening to all these people and buying up food and generators and doing all your stuff, doing all these things. You're so busy doing this stuff, you can't hear God. You've been listening to what everybody didn't tell you. What did God say? You know, I'd sit and listen to these shows. And they had some prophets club or something. I don't know what it was called. Any other thing on TV. And these guys would sit there. And I'd listen to all they'd talk about all this stuff. I'd sit and listen to this stuff and I think never once did they ever talk anything about what God said. Never once. You know. But all they were is prophets of doom and gloom. That's all they were. But you know, I never heard anybody talk about, well, what's God saying? What's God speak? Has God spoken to you about it? Has God said anything? There's one thing as I've learned. Sometimes I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, I go by as much as God doesn't say sometimes as much as he says. Pay attention. If God doesn't speak to you about certain things, it may be because you got the answer. You know. You know, if you say, I have to hear, I don't have to hear. I mean, in our church, I told everybody, I said, don't you worry about it. Ain't nothing going to happen. Don't be concerned about it. It'll come and go, and they'll all look like a bunch of idiots. Don't spend your money on that food. You might have to eat it. Oh, my God. You might eat all that dried stuff. Oh, I always thought that a lot of guys, you know, companies made a lot of money off of generators. Well, man, they made a bunch of money off of them crazy Christians. But you know what? What happens? What is Christians? Christians look like fools to the world. They look like fools to the world. And I'll tell you what, the world's been right a lot of times about the church. The church is full of fools. They don't pay no attention to God. See, if you stay over in the areas of the Spirit, you won't get caught into those things. Things that concern you, you want to be able to hear it. You want to, if there's something you need to prepare for, then you need to hear from God about it. You know, God ain't speaking to the world about the trouble to come. If he's speaking to them, it's through the church. But if the church don't even know what's coming, who's going to talk to them? We're the preachers of the world. And so we need to understand God wants to talk to us. So see, God wants to have you prepared. It's just like right now concerning the future. Now, I don't put up much future for the world after the church leaves. There's not a lot of future on that side. Not any I want to be in. I'd like to leave, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go. I want to be leaving. But it ain't going to be pretty here. But until we go, the church ain't going to be some beat up old hussy that, you know, can't make it. And we need to get. But you know that may be what somebody wants, but you can't have any confidence in it unless you know. See, and you spend time over in the area of the Spirit, you'll know. I've never been worried about this economic stuff and things that have been going on and all that stuff in our country from the time it started. Why? Because it didn't seem like to line up with what God's put in His Word. God promised to prosper me. He didn't tell me if America was doing real good, then I was allowed to. If it does, if America as a nation determines my prosperity, if it determines it, then it ain't God. And I'm going to quit. Why would I give Him money to do anything? He ain't doing nothing for me. If it only works, if all the sinners out here get in line, will do what's right, well, we'd be in huge trouble, wouldn't we? But see, you stay on the air of the Spirit, and it'll build you up on the inside. Your confidence toward God, and that's what you want to keep all the time. Because, the news is always more bad than good, isn't it? It's always more bad than good. And so, if you don't stay over on the positive side and the offensive side, I'll tell you what will happen to you. You'll end up worrying. You won't stay refreshed nor rested. You'll stay over in the areas of worry. Because there's always lousy stuff happening. I'm just telling you, here in the end times, you have not heard of yet of all the lousy stuff that's going to take place. But you have a choice. You and I are responsible for our future. God's already told us what He wants to do, and He's given us things in the Word that we can use so we know what's going on, we know what's happening, we know where we can walk and what we can do. You know, isn't it interesting? I'm just thinking, about the storm, we have. When Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul, and when He told Paul about the church, about the church, He said to Peter, He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. He wasn't talking about Peter directly. He just got done talking about the church. Because Peter's going to be in the church. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you allow on this earth, heaven will allow whatever you loose. Well, the earth is allowing. People are allowing all kinds of stuff to happen to them. Christians are allowing all kinds of demonic things to happen to them. They're allowing it. They're calling it to themselves. They're talking the bad stuff to themselves. Do you ever think about 9/11? During 9/11, that stuff, and people say, I've heard people say, I know people, they were Christians and they were killed in 9/11 those towers. There's also testimonies of Christians that that day the Lord told them not to go to work. See, where some of them were listening to the Holy Ghost, some of them weren't. Now, I don't mean they weren't a Christian, but they weren't called to die in that stupid tower. And just like the hurricane. See, I know people down there. People keep calling it in. They keep watching the Weather Channel. They keep saying what the Weather Channel's saying. They just can't wait to speak it. They just can't wait to say it. They just can't wait to get their voice behind that thing. If they'd have prayed in tongues more, they would learn how to guard their mouth a little bit better. See, we just because everybody else dies in something don't mean it's my turn. It's like the testimony of the guy who years back the one island there in Pacific, 2747s hit on the runway. One was taking off while one was landing, and one went up and it hit the other one. And in fact, there was the testimony of the guy. There was two Christian men. They met on board the plane and they were talking with each other. The plane they were on is the one that got hit by the one taken off, and the one that was taken off hit this one here. I guess this one was stopping, but still had a lot of fuel on board. And anyhow, a plane caught on fire, and the guy said about, I guess the other plane had hit their plane, the top of it, and ripped it open. And he said he could see the sky overhead. But I don't know if you've ever been in a 747. They're really high on the inside to the top of a 747. So you're standing inside. You can't jump up and touch the ceiling in it. And he said he looked up and he saw it there, but he said he looked forward in the cabin and he said there was a huge ball of fire coming back down through the cabin. And he said he just called on the name of the Lord. He said, I just said, Jesus, help. He said, the next thing I know, he said, I don't know how it happened or what took place. He said, my head and my shoulders were completely out of the top of the hole in the top of the plane. And he said, I pulled myself up and walked down off the edge of the wing and jumped down on the tarmac. Everybody else inside died. The other Christian guy that was next to him died. Well, you think God just had a special, that he was Mr. Special? That's the church world. Well, God had a reason. He killed that other guy for a purpose, you know. He killed that other guy. See, people get over believing that stuff. Well, it's because people don't get over in the spirit and they don't know God. They follow religious tradition instead of following, you know. I mean, we just had Wanda here. Oh, about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, she had come into church on Sunday morning, drove down through, and didn't have a lot of snow, but the roads were sort of ice cold that morning. The roads were a little icy and that stuff, and she slid off the road right up from the church. She slid off the road, and she said, when I went off the road, she said, I just yelled, Jesus. She said, I went off the road. She said, I don't know how I did it, but next thing I know, my car's back on the road. Well, I went up Sunday after church. We went up to see where her car went in. There's tracks going in, but there's no back out tracks. There were tracks going in, but her car ended up on the road. She drove down to church. She said, I don't know how I got back on the road. She said, next thing I know, she said, I was going in the field. And she had said, there was no ones coming out. There's only ones that went down in. They went about 20, 30 feet down in the field, and that was it, set. Because if you try to back out, you ain't going to keep in line with the tracks that you were in. There was no way that was going to happen. And you could see she ran off the road in. And she said, I never backed out to get out. She said, next thing I know, I was on the road driving. But you see, it's over in things. That's why, as you want to stay in tune, you know, a lot of people want miracles. And I want to tell you what, you're not going to see miracles just doing a natural Christianity. You're not going to see it. And I thank God, you know, that there were people who, when I was a baby Christian, understood these principles and walked in them so I could learn them. Because, you know, understand this, not everybody out here is going to walk in it right away and that stuff. But we that hear things and know things, we need to start walking in this stuff and start living in it for their sakes. Because there's people need to grow up. They need to know some of this stuff is real and it'll happen. We need miracles. We need these things happening in our lives. So we want to walk and live in this refreshing that God. So take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Take the time to keep yourself refreshed spiritually. Keep yourself at rest spiritually. When something comes, you're not trying to get a hold of God. You're in tune with God. Well, we've been praying, trying to get through to heaven. Well, you should have done that about 10 years ago, and you wouldn't be having that now. You know, I ain't trying to get through to heaven. Heaven done got through to Ed. Thank God. Heaven got through. But pray in the Spirit, and I'm serious, you're going to stay spiritually refreshed, and that's the biggie, staying spiritually refreshed and ready. Hallelujah. You know, just like I was in the military, we always had, you know, with training and stuff and things, we were, I was in a, was called a strategic communications command for the Army. We were first, if anything would start war or anything would go on, we were the first units to go in. In fact, we went in ahead of a lot of the infantry and that kind of stuff to set up communications. And we did, that was our job. Our job was to go in ahead, really, of everybody, get communications set up so when people come in, think the armies can't communicate or military can't communicate with each other, there ain't going to be much of a war going on. There's going to be a lot of bodies. And that was our job. And so all the time, they kept us prepared. We were always ready. We were always trained. You didn't wait to train till the day something happens and say, oh, what are we supposed to do now? Oh, let's do this. You don't wait for war to come. You don't wait for that to happen. And we need to understand that as Christians. That's been one of the great problems of Christianity, because Christianity is taught mostly, and most any church you go to is going to teach you defensive Christianity, not offensive Christianity. See, I believe in offensive. That's what I believe. You prepare. If somebody starts a fight, you throw the punch first. Don't wait them to hit you. If you can get the shot off first before they do something, do it. If you can nail the devil first, do it. Don't let him get 2 or 3 licks in. If you can throw the punch first. And be aggressive. I mean, once you go against the devil, don't you back down. And see, if you keep yourself built up on the inside, keep yourself refreshed, you keep yourself ready, you're rested, you're ready for the fight. You're ready. You're ready to go all the rounds you need to go. I always like Kenneth Copeland used to say, he used to use the baseball term. He said, you know, he said, in baseball they play 9 innings. He said, we don't have, we in a church, we don't play 9 innings, we play till we win. So we determine the length of the game, not the devil. We do. Hallelujah. However, how many innings it takes to us to win, we're always winning. Hallelujah. We're going to win the fight. It don't matter what it is. And so set yourself to be like that. Get yourself over the position to start to thinking that way. Keep the inner man ready that you can go a long time. If you're not rested, you can't go. You know, you'll quit easy. That's what a lot of people, they're not spiritually rested. They don't have confidence in God. They're not built up on the inside and something happens and they get knocked off of their faith feet too quickly. And they're knocked down and they can't get back up. They're too tired and they're too worn out. You need to understand this. You've got an enemy who don't quit. You're either going to make him quit or he won't quit. You got to make him quit. You got to put him in his corner. You got to take authority over him. You got to stand against him because he's always doing stuff. Hallelujah. And you're called as a winner. You're more than a conqueror. It says all those things. And when we go into battle, it should be always to win. Hallelujah. I'm going to win this battle no matter whatever I'm in. Hallelujah. Don't always wait for the devil. It's like I said, to throw a punch. There's things that you can turn around and get ahead of him on if you stay spiritually refreshed, spiritually ready, that you can go on the offensive before he does anything. And you can already be on the go of what he's doing. So, praise God. You know, it was one of the things is listen. I know at times, like with myself, of listening to the Holy Spirit, there's times that the Spirit of God would speak to me about different things, of doing things to prepare for stuff ahead. I wouldn't know exactly what's coming ahead. I had times where remember one occasion where the Holy Spirit told me to start brushing up. He said, I want you to start meditating on scriptures in love. He said, because there's some things coming up the road for you, you're going to have to walk in love with, and it ain't going to be pretty. I thought, well, okay. Well, sure enough, it came. But you know, if I wouldn't have taken the time. Hey, now understand this. It don't matter if you heard what he said. Did you do what he said? Well, I took time and went over and spent time meditating on love and things. And sure enough, a situation arose. And boy, I was glad. I was glad I had meditated on walking in love, because I sure, my flesh would not have wanted to go in that direction at all. But just taking that time, spending that time doing it. So that's why as you stay over, you pray in the Spirit and stuff, you become more spiritually sensitive, you start to hear things. God didn't speak to me in some kind of great audible voice and tell me that. He's just on the inside of me. Just on the inside of me, I just heard that. You know, brush up, there's something coming up down the road. And I've had numbers of times things like that. Certain things will come along. Sometimes the Lord spoke to me certain things on healing. You know, and go over and brush up. Well, it wasn't attacked for me. It was somebody else. But he said, I want you to go over and I want you to start meditating into scriptures in that area. And then so I started doing that and came up. You know, something came along and praise God. So you're ready. That was one of the reasons when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Like if my daughter broke her ankle when she was a little girl, Alyssa. You know, spending time over in the Spirit and tongues. You know, I realized why the Spirit of God would come on me like it did. It's because I'd get over there and I'd be all fired. I'd be refreshed. I'd be ready and rested in the Spirit beforehand. And, you know, when the devil broke her ankle, I just jerked her up off the floor. Some people say, well, you know, that happened to me. Well, what are you doing? You don't not spend time in the Spirit and then incidents is coming. All of a sudden, you're Mr. and Mrs. Spirit. It don't, you know. As I always tell you guys, you know, the story about the young girls, the two girls that, you know, caught their bicycle handles and, you know, one of them flipped over and hit head first on the concrete. It's a house we used to live at. And when that happened, and how, you know, the Lord used me. But actually what I was doing at the time when that took place, I was sitting outside on my backyard under a tree praying in other tongues when that took place. When I walked out there, I'll tell you what, I can truthfully say, I was just at a spiritual rest and peace when I walked. I didn't even run out to see what happened. I just knew beforehand before I got there what was going on. I knew it. I walked out there. I knew what was happening. I just as calm told the one girl, I said, you go down to your parents' house, because they lived over a block from us. I said, go down and get your parents and come back up. And I knew till they come back up, my daughter, she's going to be okay. I knew it. But I knew it wasn't because I was so spiritual. I knew in the inside. I was just going to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And see, you keep yourself over there praying in the Spirit. Keep yourself in that place, hallelujah, where you're ready for stuff. Hallelujah. So when the devil does do something, It don't throw you. You don't become discouraged or worried about it. Hallelujah. You just smile and grin and say, is that all you can do? Say, is this your best shot? Ha ha! My God. Hallelujah. So get yourself over there. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit and refresh yourself. Keep yourself over there refreshing yourself. One of the things about praying in other tongues that the Scripture tells us, it's the best way to give thanks. Hallelujah. Now you don't hear that preached. They'll tell you Thanksgiving's coming and they'll tell you what all you got to do to give thanks. And the Bible tells us what's the best way to give thanks. And the best way to give thanks is praying in other tongues. The Apostle Paul said so. Now you won't hear that on the churches for Thanksgiving. You won't even hear that out of the Spirit-filled churches. Yet it's in the Bible. But they don't talk about it. In 1 Corinthians, if we go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the Apostle Paul makes mention about praying in tongues. And we'll talk about this a little bit. So we want to use this in, so it's in line, it's the same way the Scripture teaches us here. It says this, for if I pray in a tongue, in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, it says this. Now listen, otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed gave thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now, he's explaining the usage, and our usage of what we do. In other words, he's telling us, Paul talks about himself, about praying in his understanding, praying in tongues. He talks about he's singing in the Spirit or singing in tongues, and he's also in his understanding. And then he talks about blessing, or in other words, in the Spirit. And he makes this statement here. He said, if I do that and I'm around the uninformed. Well, the uninformed is, we had talked about this in teaching before, the uninformed is the person who is born again but does not understand the things about the Spirit. They don't understand about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. So Paul's telling us who understand these things how to conduct ourselves around these people. How do we do it? It tells us here, Paul says to them, says, now look, if you began to bless and you did it in tongues, he said you gave thanks well. In other words, you sat down at a meal together to eat, and if you just said, I'm just going to pray in tongues over this meal, and you just prayed in tongues, the Bible says you did well. You did the good thing. You did what was good. You prayed in tongues over that meal. You did good. But he said, the people who are unlearned, the people who don't know about spiritual things, they wouldn't understand what you're doing. In other words, for their sake, pray in a known tongue. But, you know, I know this. I've sat to listen. Most Christians pray over their meal. The most spirit-filled, even spirit-filled Christians, they ought to pray in tongues because they don't pray. They don't pray scripturally right when they pray over their meal. Most Christians, you know, we're supposed to sanctify our meal. You know, it's set apart by the Word of God, it says in prayer. So we ought to be scriptural about it. It's nice to bless the hands that prepared it and all that. That's fine. But are you declaring your food sanctified? If you want to stay away from food poisoning, you better get with the program. You need to learn to do it. That's one thing as I learned is going out, you know, mission trips. I've been around people get sick. I mean, I know more good minister friends that have gone on the field and that stuff. I mean, end up severe sicknesses, you know, getting bacterial stuff. And I mean, severely sick, huge problems and that stuff. Doing those things on the field. It's one thing, it's walking. You got to protect yourself. You know, God don't send me on the mission field to get sick. And if I get sick, it's my own fault. It ain't God, and I can't blame it on the devil either. If people, well, the devil made me sick. No, he didn't. You did. Because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. You know? See, I see people too. They get around people, you know, I'll pray over my meal around anybody. I don't care who's here. I don't care. I ain't getting sick just because, you know, people get embarrassed. They sit down and, you know, somebody else is there or something else. And, you know, we don't want to look funny. I'll tell you, I could be standing in the middle of Hershey Park and I'd pray over a hot dog. Dear God. I just can't understand Christians taking medications without praying over them first. Sticking stuff in their mouth that has 497 side effects and ain't even got enough sense to pray over it. They're so stupid. Have more faith in doctors and medicine than they do God anytime and wonder why they can't get healed. I can tell you why they can't get healed, because they're faithless. Good preaching anyhow.
Amen.
You pray over it. You're going to stick something in your mouth. You better be praying. You better be in faith. Do you realize they just put a report out last week? 100,000 people died in 2011 in hospitals from medications given to them by doctors in hospital. They didn't tell us how many got killed outside the hospital. That's inside. 100,000. Is God killing them? No! God ain't killing them! You sanctify whatever you... Either you believe this stuff or you don't. You want to walk in line with the Word of God. The Word of God tells us something. You're going to eat something you're taking into your body. You sanctify it. You speak over it concerning you. Hallelujah. It's going in your mouth and in your body. Hallelujah. You know, talk about it. Don't talk about, I take this stuff and it really bothers me. Well, then quit taking it, you idiot. Why do you keep saying it? It's going to keep bothering you. You just keep saying it is, you nut. Why do you keep saying it? It's like, oh. People, I just like slap them on the head and say, you nut, what is wrong with you? I'm just trusting the Lord. I'll tell you. God. Watch people do stuff that makes you crazy. Get in line with the Word. But see, I take it very seriously concerning my body, and if I'm going to put something in it, all these people worry about whether I'm putting health food in my body. I'm going to tell you what, more of those people end up dead. They keep doing the stupid stuff because they have all their faith in their health food. I'm going to tell you, your health food can kill you too.
Yep.
Dear God, I mean, all that there bit we had with the spinach, that was all health stuff. That was all that organic stuff. All them people got sick. How many died? You better have faith. Dear Lord, hallelujah. So we want to walk in the light of it. So we got over on that, but we give thanks well. So if you can't pray over your stuff right with your mouth in your known tongue, then do it in other tongues at least. Help yourself. Say, Lord, I ain't got no sense about praying over my food. So I'm just going to, Holy Ghost, I'm just praying over. I'm letting you say some stuff through me. I'll just yield my mouth to you. Say some right stuff, and I'll believe my food sanctified. Hallelujah. Walk in line with the Word. I'll tell you what, it'll protect you. These things weren't put in the Scriptures just, you know, for fun. They're just not nice things. It's not just a nice religious thing to do. Folks, we're living in a world, and I'll tell you what, there's a lot of bad stuff happening out here. Hallelujah. And you know what? It ain't supposed to be happening to us. We're supposed to be delivered. Get that in your mind. Get that in your thinking. Hallelujah. Because there's all kinds of things that contaminate it. But God has given you and I the ability and authority to live in a contaminated world without getting the contamination.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll tell you, you know, thank God, I'm not against doctors and I'm not against medicine. But I'll tell you, a Christian worldwide would learn more about this side of it. Would be 1,000 times better off. I mean, man, if we go into a nation and teach them right about spiritual things, but you know, most of the church won't even go into the world and teach them right about spiritual things. And so people are, all they got is medical science. It's all they got to lean on. They don't have anything but medical science. And it's one thing about it. God's not limited, but medical science is very limited. They're very limited. Thank God for all they can do, but they're very limited. Hallelujah. You know, thank God, you know, they do as far as they can, but God can go the whole way. All things are possible to him that believeth. So no matter what happens to you, If you trust God, He'll deliver you. If you believe Him, He'll deliver you. He said, all things are possible to me. If I believe, there is nothing I have to be concerned about being withheld from me. So, we're over here praying in other tongues, so you can give thanks and things by praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. So take a little time to do it. But use common sense about it too if you're around people that don't understand it, you know, and you're praying around other people, you know, pray in your known language so they can understand, because why? It talks about edifying the other person. So it's things about considering, just walking in love, you know. Because, I mean, you can sit there if you want to and pray in tongues under your breath there. You know, you can sit and do that. The Bible tells you, when Paul said in the church in tongues, if there's no interpreter, well, then don't speak out in tongues. But it says there, speak to yourself and to God, you know, just to yourself. So you can sit there and talk in tongues to God. You can do that. And so, but you give thanks well. In other words, you did a good job at it. So if you ever want to, you know, I don't know if I'm doing a good job at praying, well, then pray over it in tongues. Just you did a good job. Paul said so. I tell you, I'm going to go with it. We can't. If Paul's not right about this, then we can't believe any of it about the rest of it, he said, either. What are we going to believe? Hallelujah. He said, I did well. So I can give thanks and just say, I'm going to thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm going to speak in other tongues, and I'm going to give thanks to God and just talking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Begin to pray in other tongues over your stuff. Hallelujah. One of the good things about praying in tongues also is to bring our tongues under subjection. It is a very, very helpful thing of praying in other tongues. The idea for one to control the way they speak. In James, the third chapter, in the book of James, the third chapter, James made mention here concerning the tongue. And this is why this is so important, about speaking in tongues. Listen what James writes about the tongue. In verse 80 he says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's what he said, the tongue. In other words, controlling your speech, what he's talking about. Now we need to understand the importance of James said, made the mention here, man can't control it. Now we need to understand this, God can. But number one, God ain't going to control your tongue without your help. But man to his best. You know, if we read the whole thing with James, James talks about men learn how to train animals, do all this kind of stuff and do other things, but they can't control the tongue. A person came to me here back a month or so ago and was talking about it, asked me about a question about a certain thing and why they were having so much problem in a certain area of their faith life. And I just told them honest. I said, it's because of the way you talk about that certain area of your life. I said, I have heard you dozens and dozens of times talk on that subject. I said, you do it around people all the time. And I said, I've heard you. And I said, you always talk a certain way. And I said, you never control your mouth. I said, now over in this other area, you'll talk the right way about it. But I said, when it comes to that, you don't talk right. And I said, you're saying, well, what, things ain't working out for me. I'm having problems in this thing in this area. It isn't working. I said, until you can't get it to work till you get your tongue under control. Amen. It won't work till you get your tongue under control. This person could quote to me every scripture that they needed to know to stand on in that area. But see, over in that area, they are very emotionally involved and they let their emotions control them in that area. And it's, you know, some people let certain areas are more emotional. They let that area emotionally drive them more, you know. Everybody has that. There's some areas you seem to be able to control much better than you can other areas. It's one of the things is dealing with the area of the tongue, because James had said, you know, if we can control our tongue, we can control our whole body. So in other words, if I can control my body, I can control my emotion. I can bring emotion under control. Boy, you want to do that, don't you? See, before I came into the kingdom, I lived out of my emotion, man. And it wasn't usually pretty. That's why I stayed drunk and did drugs, because other than that, I was mad and wanted to fight. My emotions were not good. Stuff didn't go my way or what I wanted. What I thought, man, I'll tell you, it got ugly. It never was pretty. But if I stayed drunk and drugged up, I didn't care what happened. But my emotion drove me. You know, but understand, now, I was more outward in my emotion, but I want to tell you this. You need to understand this. There's people and that stuff that they weren't like me, but their emotions were driven just as much. They kept their emotions, more or less you didn't see them, but inwardly, they had huge problems. So see, the person that's outward doesn't mean that people that are in, they're more controlling their emotion. As I had to find out it's controlling, because I could tell if my emotions were getting controlled because my tongue got better. If your tongue don't get no better, you didn't get controlled yet. You got to get your tongue under control. See, you'll tell. You can tell. If the tongue is what will bring, if getting the tongue right gets the whole body right, you can start to tell. If anything you start to see, you can start to measure. How am I talking? What am I saying? What am I being driven by? How am I speaking about stuff? You got to get yourself in there thinking properly. So, but God can tame our tongues. We know that. God, so in other words, God has a plan. And this is where an area is dealing with the, really in the areas of the tongue. Because, you know, the Bible says here that the tongue, it's an unruly evil. It's a deadly poison. In other words, the tongue out of line is unruly. If you, you know, you think about it, I mean, James wrote about it. He said, how did war start? You ever think worldwide, all the stuff that's going on? You know, I'll tell you, many times men have been talked into wars. They've been talked into all kinds of stuff. It's words that are said, things that are going on, stuff that's happening. But it is caused by the tongue. But when we pray in tongues, when we're praying in tongues, we are putting our tongue under the control of the inner man rather than under the control of the outer man. This is what happens. You need to understand this. Faith operates out of the inner man, not the outer man. Faith's of the heart. It's of the spirit. You can't be a person of faith with your tongue under the control of your body. If the outer man has the control on the tongue, you will not operate in faith. Because faith operates out of the heart. We believe in our heart and we don't doubt. That's what it tells us. Then what? We're going to have what we say. In other words, if you say this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to sea, doubt not in your heart. But believe those things. Those things what? You said from your heart. Well, see, if my tongue, see, there's people lots of times saying, well, I tell that mountain to move and it don't move. What's under? I don't understand. I'm in faith. Well, I already know. They said they didn't understand. I know they're not in faith because they're questioning. They're not in faith. They're questioning about it. They're not in faith. If they were in faith, they'd say, that mountain's going to move no matter what. Don't matter. They were in faith. It wouldn't change it. And this is one of the things. This is why when we can yield ourselves over praying in tongues and do that more often, we yield our tongue over to our spirit where we're speaking from. Paul said when you speak in tongues, he said, when I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is praying. It's my spirit is talking now. My spirit, yielding your tongue to your spirit. That's how you become spiritual. That's how you bring spiritual things into the natural realm. That's how you bring what you want to believe to happen in your life into happening in your life. You bring it from the spirit side. It don't come from the natural side. It don't come out of your mind. It's not some kind of mental vision or mental something or other. You know, that vision's got to be in your heart, is what the Word has said. And you're speaking out of what your spirit says, not out of what your mind and your emotions or your body is saying. So if I can take time to learn to yield my tongue over to pray, let my spirit pray, I will guarantee you this, you're going to find your tongue more yielded all the time toward the inner man rather than the outer man. And when you do speak words of understanding, it ain't going to be stuff coming from your head. It'll be coming out of here, out of the place of power that changes things. That's why most people can't change anything, because they never speak from the place of power of the inner man. They're always speaking from the outer man. And ain't how loud you can get on the outside, it's what you believe on the inside. If you can get your voice hooked to your inner man, Man, you got something. I'll tell you what. That's where the power's at. And that's why praying in tongues gets us over yielding our tongue to letting God do His talking through our spirit. And we'll get over it. I'll tell you, I'm just going to tell you, you will find it'll change the way you talk. Because you'll know when you say the wrong things, you'll be conscious of it right away. Why? Because you'll be conscious, your inner man saying, that ain't what I believe. That's not what I believe. That's your conscience. That's what you want working. Most people never hear their consciences on subjects. They hear what they believe in the outer man, but they don't hear what the inner man believes. You want the inner man to be able to have a voice loud enough to speak up that you hear it and says, hey, hold it. I don't agree with that. Let me say what I want to say on this deal. Let me speak. Understand the inner man. You know, you're sitting meditating the Word of God. That's one of the things. I never memorize scriptures. I don't do that. I never have. I know people go through them memorizing scriptures. I've always just, you know, I've meditated on scriptures till I get things. It's a matter of believing. I know you people sit down and memorize 20 scriptures on healing. I've never done that kind of stuff. I've always one or two scriptures. I tell you what, if one scripture from God can't get me healed, 27 ain't either. God's Word's powerful enough to heal me on one scripture. And it has done it many times. Many times I've been attacked and I just quote a scripture and get right over it. See, a lot of people's believing's messed up. They got all this, well, now if I'm quoting 27 scriptures and then that's going to work. It ain't in the multitude of scriptures. It's in the power of your belief in the inner man. How much do you really believe what you said? If you believed it took a lot of scriptures to do it, that ain't scriptural. You ain't believing scriptural. You know, one word of God will do, you know. I mean, Jesus didn't quote 27 scriptures to get Lazarus out of the tomb. My God. You see, this is getting over, and this is one of the things that's really helpful is why you want to pray in tongues. We need to know this, is why you want to guard your mouth. Because you don't guard your mouth, you're going to kill your faith. There are more, the worst sins spoken of in the Bible are all dealing with the mouth. They're not what we deal with in our sight, you know, with murder and sexual sins and this and that and the other thing. They aren't the worst sins. That's why you got to watch how you condemn a person who does certain things, because most everybody has sinned at least 100 times worth with their own mouth. You see, people don't realize that. They run around and we don't understand how powerful. Look what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Because we want to look at this. We're dealing with the mouth. And why we want to get our mouth under control? Because God says the sins of the mouth are worse than any sins. When He speaks of the sins that He hates, the sins of the mouth are the worst. Sins of the mouth are the worst. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16 says this, these 6 things the Lord hates. 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, even 7 are abomination. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. He said, hearts that devise wicked plans, feet that are swift to running to evil. He said, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. The majority of them are all dealing with the mouth. These 6 things God hates. And so, but we have our own ideas of what we think is so bad. So what is so terrible and what's so awful. Because not guarding the tongue is as James wrote, it's an evil man, it's a poison, it's unruly. If the tongue is not brought under control, there really is not a hope for man. You know, really, there's hardly hope for an individual if you cannot get them to control their tongue. You come to a place, you can't help them. You can't help them if they won't control their mouth. And that's one of the things the Lord dealt with me in the areas of healing. He said to me, if I wanted to walk in divine health, I had to learn to control my mouth. You got to learn to control what you talk about sickness and disease and what you say and what you say you believe about things and stuff. Your view of sickness, your view of things, your view of what people call deadly diseases. You know, how you can't walk around and say, well, people get that kind of cancer, they just die. Well, what if the devil attacks you with it? You've already set yourself to die. You got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you speak. You set your future. You can set where things are hard to deal with. If you just looking over things, I mean, Kenneth Hagin talked about a young man, a Rhema student years back, was in a really bad accident, was hurt really bad, and was dying, and he was called to the hospital. It happened, he was a student there at school, and he's called to the hospital, and Brother Hagin told the story about it. He said they went in the hospital, and they were praying for the young man. They were praying there, and he said, I knew we just weren't taking hold. He said, I knew we weren't. And he said, we were praying, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, spiritual laws were set in motion many years ago, and you can't change them. And he thought, what on earth was that? So he got over, and he said, again, it was the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. He said, spiritual laws have been set in motion many years ago, and you can't change them. And he stopped and asked the Lord, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, this young man has stated for years, and I think the guy was like 24 years old. He said, this young man has confessed and said hundreds and hundreds of times that he'd never live to be 25 years old. And he said, he set that law in motion and you can't change it. And he thought, man, is this right? So, he got family members and just started running some questions by them, and he asked them, he said, did he ever say this? And he said, oh, he used to say that all the time. He'd never lived to be 25 years old. Well, he didn't. He set a law in motion. And see, one of the things of it is, sometimes you can get a person to change it if you can get them back to consciousness, and they couldn't get him back to consciousness. Because, see, he's the one that has to change it. See, sometimes people have set things in motion, and you can't change them. You can pray night and day and fast, all do all you want to do, and you can't change them. You have to learn that. You have to learn to quit pressing past God to try to get your will carried out. That's why Elvis Presley died. Elvis Presley said he'd never live any longer than his mom did. And he died. His brother, you know, was on TV, and his brother, who's a preacher, his half-brother, talked about it. Said Elvis, he'd say it all the time, he'd never live to be longer, you know, older than his mom. And he did. He died. Michael Jackson used to tell, he was married to Lisa Marie Presley, and he was married to her. He said, and used to tell her when they were married, he would never live longer than her dad did, Elvis. And he said he would die like he did, and that's what he did. He died the same way. These people set things in motion. You need to guard your tongue. You know, sometimes people started off saying things jokingly. It was funny, but they keep saying it. After a while, their own spirit hears it. And after a while, faith comes by hearing. And after a while, it becomes a belief. It becomes a belief. Once that has been spoken from your spirit, that's faith. I don't care if sinner or saint, you're setting things in motion. If you come to the place that you're speaking that and don't doubt it, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come to pass. Good or bad. Good or bad. That's why the power's in the tongue, folk. The power's in the tongue. An unruly tongue can't get God's work done. An unruly tongue is not going to do anything. That's why it's bringing the tongue. And God has supernaturally given us a means that we can speak divine things, divine secrets, get our tongue hooked up with God rather than with our little old minds. And it will affect us. It says it builds us up on the most holy faith. In other words, if it gets me, it's charging me up, it's going to work for me to keep my tongue in line. And that's why it's important to do it. I know all these, you know, I listen to these ministries and, well, you know, it don't matter, this tongues. That's why the devil is moving to get a lot of the so-called spirit-filled ministries away from tongues. He doesn't want them. They don't want it in the church. The devil don't, if anything, devil don't want, he don't want the spirit-filled in the church. Because the non-spirit-filled ain't going to move in the plan of God. There's not going to be any Azusa Streets out of the Baptists. Now, I'm not against Baptists. But it ain't going to be out of the Presbyterians. If they don't want the Spirit-filled, there ain't going to be none of that. You know, the healing revivals of the 1950s, they were those healing revivals, there wasn't no Baptists, non-Spirit-filled Baptists holding great tent meetings and having all kind of people healed, delivered, and set free. Weren't happening, folk. Now, there are Spirit-filled Baptists, but in the denominational wise, you're not going to have that kind of thing. You're not gonna have that stuff going on. It's out of the Spirit-filled people. It ain't going to be happening out of the others. See, people have this idea if a move of God comes, it's just going to move among everybody. No, it don't. It goes to the ones who cooperate with it. So you want to cooperate with it. And God's really moving us now to come in line with these things, to get in line in this area especially. Because what we say is a powerful thing. It's hugely powerful. And so let God work in you. Hallelujah. And I guess we ought to stop there. I got going pretty long. Let me see. Where are we at on here? Yeah, I went long enough. We'll pick up the next time on this. And we'll end this part the next time and then teach on some other things. But hallelujah. I just want to encourage you. I hope you can just see what I was talking about, how important it is to get our tongue in line. Yield to the Holy Ghost. You need divine help. You're not going to do it just, well, I'm just going to really watch what I say. If you could have done that, man, you're better than what God is. Because God said you can't do it. Hallelujah. We need divine help. Take every bit of it you can get. Believe me, take every bit of it you can get. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight for again revealing the truth to us. And Father God, I'm so glad we can rest on you. I'm so glad, Lord God, we have you to look to. And Father God, which what seems insurmountable to men, Lord God, for you, that's not a problem. And so, Lord God, our trust is going to be in you. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving us this wonderful divine way, Lord God, to help us to come into line, Father, so your will can be done, so we can live, Lord God, a life of blessing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, a life you plan for us. Hallelujah. For Lord, just like you said that we'd pray for our leaders so we could live a life, Lord God, of a peace, and a Lord God, a life of honesty in the name of Jesus, so that all men could come into the knowledge of truth. Lord God, if we follow your plan, it downright works. So we want to say thank you, Father, that we can fall into your plan. We thank you, Father God, for divine help to bring our tongues into line, because Lord God, every one of us sure need help in this area. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, Father God, for helping us bring our tongues in line with your will, so your glory can be revealed in the earth, Lord God, that Lord God, we're not ones holding back the move, but Lord God, we're ones helping the move of God flow in the earth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.